Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, LGBTQ-affirming megachurch pastor Andy Stanley is leading the church into the final phase of the falling away. Revered pastor Charles Stanley died a few weeks ago, and we witnessed an outpouring of love and affection for him for his long years of faithful service with his In Touch Ministries. When I first got saved, I would listen to his broadcasts, but I found them to be more motivational than instructive, and soon moved on to the stronger meat of people like Clarence Larkin and Peter Ruckman. Charles Stanley was right on his stance on homosexuality, and I'm going to play that clip today. It's a stance that his son Andy has chosen to not follow. In fact, Wolf in Sheep's Clothing Andy Stanley is right now hard at work remaking the church to be LGBTQ affirming. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 and 4. I'm sorry, that's 2 Timothy 4 chapters 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Revelation chapter 3 verses 20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, the biggest single issue that faces the church, the body of Christ in our day, is where do you stand on the LGBTQIA plus P for pedophile movement? Should they be welcomed into the church with open arms? There is no bigger question than this, hands down, bar none. But your King James Bible has a spoiler alert when it tells you in Luke 17:28 how the church is going to vote on LGBTQ rights and practices. Enter Andy Stanley, the man of the hour raised up by Satan himself to lead the charge into the abyss. As of this writing, Andy Stanley and his vast Laodicean empire wields amazing power and influence over evangelicalism due to the massive size of his congregation and the concomitant truckloads of money such a large following brings. Andy gives you just enough Bible to make you think that he's teaching you scripture, then walks you down the primrose path into spiritual oblivion. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are calling you, talking to you personally, to leave the Laodicean church as it begins its nosedive straight into the ground. Listen, someone is knocking on the door and is inviting you to sup with him. Now, go open that door and let him in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered here today. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful church service, our Sunday service yesterday, and what a blessing that was. And Lord, again, we thank you for waking us up and putting food on the table and clothes on our back and a roof over our head. We're glad, we're grateful. And today, on our salvation list, Chona says, please pray for Estefano Jr., Eugenia and her kids, Maricel and Cherry, and her siblings, Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton would like prayers for his son, Jacob, and his mom, Lynette. Samantha is asking salvation prayers for Beth. Deborah Hare would like salvation prayers for her unsaved family, as would Rita, Teresa, Annabal, and those are all the full family prayers. Lisa says, please save my father, John. Deborah Milton praying for son, Billy. And Hap Nightingale is salvation prayers for Jimmy and Zach. People who need a healing today. Annetta, she had a stroke last year, and we are praying that she'll get a complete healing to be able to walk again. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Rob Beatty, stage 4 colon cancer, went into hospice last week, came out a couple of days later, and says he feels too good to be in hospice. And we're continuing to pray for him. Clayton Perry, he's been battling the side effects of chemotherapy and cancer. Craig Arford is having surgery tomorrow, and we're praying for him. Aaron Riddle's sister, Tracy, is battling metastatic breast cancer, and we are praying for her. Shira Shine, she has some health issues, and she has asked us to pray, and she's been on our list for quite some time. I got a message this morning from Dina Kruger. She says, you've been praying for Katrina, who has metastatic breast cancer. She's the daughter of my veterinarian friend, Alan. And yesterday, Alan let me know that she has developed some lesions in her brain, and she is going to very likely have to have surgery very, very shortly. And give me just a second here. I want to post a picture of Christina. Most of the times, we only know who we're praying for by what their name is. And every once in a while, we get a photo. Every once in a while, we get a photo. So here's a picture of Christina. They're very glad. They're very grateful that we've been praying for her for as long as we have. And keep her, keep Christina in your prayers. And also keep Dina's mom. She has been taking radiation due to colon cancer, and she's waiting for a report from the doctor to see how that's going to go. But please keep Christina and Dina's mom in your prayers. And I just tried to post a picture, and it was the wrong file format, but if you open it, you'll see it. Clayton Perry, battling chemotherapy. And cancer. A lot of the times, people struggle just as hard from the chemo as they do from the cancer. And Sarah Shine says, also, please remember my children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. Maddie Luck has been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Joel Smith is recovering from a stroke, but he needs to get saved. Linda is asking prayers for Hannah's mom after getting blood clots. Natalie and Ken both have health issues. Patricia Alliston, please pray for husband Ron with cancer. Sharon Hansen needs a healing from dementia. Gary is praying for his friend Carrick with MS. Paul Caulfield has type 1 sugar diabetes. Vilma Ortiz is having cervical fusion surgery on Wednesday. And her husband Annabelle says, please remember her in your prayers. Annette, she says, my best friend's daughter is a relapsed drug addict at the age of 17. Please remember her. Jeanette says, my mom has another lump in her breast, and please pray that it's not cancer. Roz GB, please pray for my daughter Roseanne, suffering from severe allergies. She has a severe cold in her nose, and it's hard to swallow for almost a month now. Ladies who are pregnant, Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, Gary Tatterson's daughter Kayla, Linda and Joe LaPiana's son and daughter-in-law. April has a niece who is pregnant. Terry Bryant, was her birthday last week. Her daughter Jillian is expecting, and Heather's daughter is pregnant and needs to get saved. Mark Saxa says, please pray for my son Joseph. And I'll add to that, please pray for my son Calvin. Aunt Nancy says, please continue to pray for Brandon and Michelle. Leslie needs the Lord to step in and solve some urgent situations in her life. Palmetto State Guy asking for prayer for his mom Eunice and his father Paul. Diane has two grandchildren, Connor and Victoria, who have joined the transgender movement. Rebecca D. says, please pray for my daughter Tamaya, Leah, and myself. Ramona Hayes has a daughter named Kimberly, who is an alcoholic. Also, unsaved grandchildren that need to get saved. Sandra Carbonera is praying for Vince, who has depression, cutting, and suicidal thoughts. We're praying for the Hoffer clan up in Canada to get something done for the Lord. Joni would like salvation prayers for Ashley, Clint, Ember, Knox, Lucas, Brian, Mary, and Dee. Kevin Thompson, please pray for my father's salvation, Tim. Also, a customer that I deliver to, he's saved, but he's not walking with the Lord, and he's battling an illness. Todd DiBucci, possible prison term stemming from a DWI in Texas. And just pray for the Lord to do something in that situation. We've also been remembering the Kruger family. Brent's mother died last week. She was saved, but please keep the Kruger family in your prayers. Paul and Peggy Caulfield, please continue to pray for a Christian girl who is being pressured in Canada to change her gender. Unspoken prayers. Jeanette, Marie C., the LaPiana family, Adrian Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Steve, Haley and Dan, and Dr. Shirley all have unspoken prayer requests. Dennis Giacomino, my friend Amy's brother died last week. Her father died today. And please remember that family. CJ talked with my 9-year-old granddaughter and asked her if she knew Jesus. She said, oh yes, Grandma, I'm a Christian. We had a great conversation. Amen. Becky Price, a lot of family issues, could really use prayers. My son Jeremy and my daughter Kyla. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, and we praise you. Kyle Gorzel, he went to urgent care last night. No flu, no COVID, no pneumonia, but he has chills and it's hard to breathe. And doctor said it just needs to run its course, and he called in some antibiotics. He said, got some good rest today. Everyone else is healthy. Thank you for praying. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we thank you, we praise you, we come before you. And for everybody who needs a healing, we ask you to work and move. For everybody that needs a touch, everybody that needs help with their finances, with a job situation, with a living situation, with a relationship situation, whatever it happens to be. And we just commit all this to you, Lord, and ask you to work and move for your glory and for our good. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and glad that you are here today. Almost forgot. Before we get started, last Friday, it was Terry Bryant's birthday. So we wish a very, very happy birthday to Terry Bryant. And today is Lulu's birthday, Louise Morrison. So a very happy birthday to Terry and Lulu. Amen, amen. Happy birthday, Lulu and Terry. All right, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the great falling away Today is not going to be an easy program. It is not going to be an easy program for me to deliver. I don't enjoy these type of programs. And it is not going to be an easy program for you to listen to. And I ruffled more than a few feathers a couple of weeks ago when I was posting on Instagram asking if Charles Stanley knew about his son Andy Stanley's radical position on the LGBTQ. And I had no idea that Charles Stanley was ill. I didn't know that he was on his deathbed. But all I did, and to be perfectly honest, is I asked a question. Now, if I would have insulted the man, then I would have to have something to apologize for. But we live in a day and age where people are so easily offended that one of the main things that we have stopped doing is we have stopped asking questions. Now, if you say something that is insulting to somebody, that's one thing. But if somebody is insulted simply because you asked a question, well, there's something wrong with that. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the Bible is all for asking questions. God wants you to bring your strong reasons to Him. And the Bible is a big book. The Bible is a tough book. And the Bible can take any possible question that you could ask of it. And I was simply asking, did Charles Stanley approve of his son's position on homosexuality? Now, I did some research, and this is what I found. A number of years ago, back in the early 1990s, Charles Stanley's wife, Anna Stanley, she divorced Charles, and she said she had her reasons. There was no accusations that he had been unfaithful or anything like that. She just didn't want to be married to him anymore. So, back in the early 1990s, they separated, and they divorced. Their divorce was final, I think, in the year 2000. And that caused an enormous stir. And the people who were the enemies of Charles Stanley, they demanded that he step down. Now, there is nothing in the Bible that says that if the wife of a pastor leaves him, that he needs to step down from the ministry. So the people who were clamoring, the people who were clamoring for him to step down, did not have a biblical leg to stand on. But here's where the problem happened between Charles Stanley and Andy Stanley. Is Andy Stanley took the side of the people who were demanding that Charles Stanley step down. And Andy Stanley sat down with his dad and recommended that he step down, that he not retire, what's the word? Resign from the ministry. And then if the people wanted to have him back, they could have him back. And Charles Stanley was heartbroken. He was absolutely heartbroken when his son Andy Stanley took the side of the people that Charles Stanley felt were his enemies. A number of people are asking in the chat room, what is this about Charles Stanley's wife? Anna Stanley divorced Charles Stanley. I think it happened in the year 2000, and they were officially separated in the year 1993. But Andy Stanley took the side of the people who were demanding that Charles Stanley resign. And that broke his father's heart. And for the rest of their lives, Charles Stanley died 2 weeks ago, for the rest of their lives, Charles Stanley and Andy Stanley had a disagreement. And it wasn't just about the divorce. It wasn't just about anything like that. Andy Stanley had, he was a very ambitious person. And I read a number of articles today where it said that Charles Stanley was grooming his son to take over the ministry. But when Andy Stanley started preaching, he preached differently from his father. He didn't like to wear the suit and tie, and he was appealing to a completely different crowd. So, Andy Stanley, back in 1995, he launched his own ministry called North Point Ministries. And over the last couple of decades, he has been growing more and more Laodicean. Now, flash forward to this year. Andy Stanley has been setting Twitter absolutely on fire with the sermons that he's been preaching. And for those of you that may be listening to this program for the first time, I want to give you a little bit of a taste of what Andy Stanley has been preaching that has so many people upset and that has so many people coming to his church. Andy Stanley's ministry is 10 times the size of Charles Stanley's ministry. Andy Stanley is having revival, but he's not having Bible revival. He's having a Laodicean revival. He's having an ear-tickling revival. That's the type of revival that Andy Stanley is having. So, take a listen. Here is roughly a 3-minute sample of the type of sermons that Andy Stanley preaches at his massive North Point mega church. Take a listen to this.
It really begins like this. Many of you, you're like me, many of you were brought up to believe this. Jesus loves me, this I know. Right? I mean, if it's a fabulous song. Most of our kids are still singing this song. We sang this song. Jesus loves me, this I know. What's the next line? Right. For the Bible tells me so. And this is where our trouble began. It really did. This is where our trouble began. Because, and don't leave, because the implication is, this is important. The implication is the Bible is the reason we believe. The Bible is the reason to believe. In other words, I can believe Jesus loves me because it's in the Bible. I grew up in a church where basically the byline, the subtitle for everything was, if the Bible says it, that, anybody? Settles it right here on the front row. Yeah, that's right. If the Bible says it, that settles it. And so we send kids off to college with a, if the Bible says it, that settles it. And oh my goodness, they discovered that that didn't settle it. And then they come home and they say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, my granddad, Uncle, Aunt, did you know? It's like, I don't ask those questions. The Bible says it, that settles it. The Bible says it, that settles it. The problem is this. The problem with that is this. If the Bible is the foundation of our faith, if the Bible is the foundation of our faith, as the Bible goes, so goes our faith. In other words, Christianity cannot survive if the Bible goes away. Christianity cannot survive if somehow every single part of the Bible isn't absolutely true if the Bible is the foundation of our faith.
So I'm going to stop Andy Stanley right there. Turn to Psalm chapter 12. Now, I will give Andy credit for one thing. He's a very good public speaker. I didn't say he was a good preacher. He is a very good public speaker. He knows how to make people laugh. He knows how to set people at ease. He knows how to make people feel not intimidated. but he doesn't know anything about the Bible. He says that if the Bible was to go away, then Christianity wouldn't exist. Now, there's approximately 5,000 people listening live. There's approximately 5,000 people sitting in the church while he's preaching this. And there's approximately 200,000 people who are listening live to this clip that I'm playing for you. Now, if any of those people knew anything about the Bible, they would know this from Psalms chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, why is Andy Stanley preaching a hypothetical straw man sermon about what would happen if the Bible suddenly disappeared? The Bible cannot suddenly disappear. Not today, not tomorrow, not during the tribulation, not while Antichrist is sitting in the temple from Matthew 24:15. The Bible is never going to disappear. That's not my opinion. That's Psalm 12, verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. Preserve what? The words of the Lord from verse 6. And how long? How long is God going to preserve the Bible for? Forever. So, you know what Andy Stanley is? Andy Stanley is a big fat liar.
The Bible is the foundation of our faith. It is all or nothing. This is why when you grew or growing up, every once in a while you would bring information to your parents or your grandparents or maybe somebody else who was raising you. And you say, today at school we learned, and they just kind of shut you down. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. We're Christians. We don't believe that. It's like, yeah, but it's true. Well, we don't believe that. Well, what was that about? Why are Christians so afraid? Why are Christians so fearful? Why are we not the most curious people and scientifically oriented people in the world? I'll tell you why.
I'm going to stop him right there again. Why are we not the most curious and scientifically based people in the world? Did you see what he did there? He just threw that in, and he's putting science on the same level as the Bible. You know what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21? Paul says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoid profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. And so, Andy Stanley, because he is a good public speaker, and he's very smooth with his words, and he makes people laugh, and he makes people smile, and he sets people at ease, in one quick sentence, he just puts science on the same level as the Bible.
Because you were raised in a culture like I was raised in, and it was all or nothing. If anything proves that something in the Bible isn't actually, absolutely, historically, scientifically reliable, the whole thing comes tumbling down. Because this version of Christianity is a house of cards. And all you have to do is pull out one card and the whole thing comes tumbling down.
So let me stop him right there. Did you hear what Andy Stanley just said? Andy Stanley said that if you are one of those Christians that believe the Bible and put the Bible above science and history and all that other stuff, then you have created a house of cards that can be easily destroyed by pulling one of those cards out. Now, I know that Andy Stanley monitors our Twitter channel, and I know that because I have had multiple interactions, I'll call them incursions, I have had multiple incursions with Andy Stanley recently, and so let me give a challenge to Pastor Andy Stanley from North Point Community Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Anytime you would like me to get on the stage with you and debate this topic, any day of the week, any time of the night or day, just invite me. I only live 6 hours south of you in St. Augustine, Florida. But if you think that being a Bible believer is creating a house of cards that you can easily dismantle by pulling out one of those cards, well, I invite you to show me that. Why don't we have a debate about any topic in the Bible that you would like to discuss? I'll get in my car, I'll drive up to your church, we'll do it with your crowd, with your people, and we'll do it on your home turf. That's how confident that I am in debating you. But let's continue.
Christianity becomes a fragile house of cards that comes tumbling down when we discover that perhaps the walls of Jericho didn't. When we discover or we're told that perhaps there was no exodus from Egypt to the promised land, that there's no historical evidence of that. When we're told in school and in graduate school that there's no evidence for a worldwide flood. When people point out apparent contradictions in the Bible. When in school we're told there's no way the earth is 6,000 years old, it's 4.5 or 4.55 billion years old, and the universe is 14.5 billion years old. And all of a sudden, all we have to do, the tension is around, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, but science has said, the Bible says. And all of a sudden, there's this extraordinary, extraordinary tension. If the entire Bible isn't true, then let's be honest. The Bible isn't true.
So there you have Andy Stanley. Turn to, get 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in one hand. And, where are we going to go? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's get Revelation 3. And let's get 2 Timothy 4. And let's see what Paul's talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that's the rapture of the church, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ, that's the rapture of the church, is at hand. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, what does that mean, a falling away? Well, the Bible, any question that the Bible raises, we have the opposite view of the Bible that Andy Stanley has. We believe that when we read our King James Bible, that we are reading the infallible, preserved Word of God. And not only the infallible, preserved Word of God, singular, they are the preserved words, plural, of God. Well, this is what Paul's talking about. If you want to know what the falling away is. Now, there are other Bible teachers like Andy Woods and J.D. Farag who do not believe that the falling away is the apostasy of the church. And what they say that it is, they say that the falling away is the rapture of the church, and they go back to a 1599 Geneva Bible to try to make that point, and it is just absolutely ridiculous. You know, it is just It's terrible, really. But it's part and parcel of where we are in the last days. This is the type of Bible teaching that you're getting from most places. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read this, starting in verse 1. Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, Andy Stanley, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So, what is Andy Stanley preaching? What is Andy Stanley preaching at his North Point Community Church? He's preaching fables, is what he's preaching. And it makes me mad when I see how many other, I'll call them evangelical pastors, almost nobody is teaching about the falling away of the church. And Paul says in the verses that I just read to you that in the last days, the preachers are going to stop preaching Bible doctrine. And all the doors are going to start to close. But there's one door that remains open. And what I'm going to say next makes people mad each and every time that I say it. But I'm going to say it anyway. Look in Revelation chapter 3. Look in Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, North Point Community Church, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, Andy Stanley, and repent. Now I said all that to say this. These are the verses showing you what the falling away looks like. The church has never been more prosperous. They have never been wealthier. Their reach and influence has never been greater. But they are not using that reach and influence to preach Bible doctrine. They are using that reach and influence to enrich themselves. Now look in verse 20 of Revelation 3. The context is the church. That's the context. Verse 14 says, Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. And verse 22 says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. So the context of everything from Revelation 3:14 all the way down to the bottom is talking to the church. And now Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door is that? Is that the door to your heart? No. That's the door to the church. Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, what is he asking you to overcome? He's asking you to overcome the lukewarm Laodicean church. That's what he's asking you to do. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now, Revelation 3, verses 20 and 21, that is the invitation by Jesus himself, telling you that he's knocking on the outside of the door of the church that has fallen away, that has grown lukewarm. And if you do not want to be associated with the lukewarm Laodicean church, if you want to get on fire for God and get something done for God, then Jesus is inviting you to open the door and let him in. And Jesus says, I will sup with you, and you will sup with me, and I'll give you a job to do, and we'll get something done together. Now, my call today, I am calling everybody who is in a lukewarm Laodicean church to stand up and rise up against it. If you have a lukewarm Laodicean pastor like Andy Stanley, you need to let your voice be heard. You need to open up a Bible, and you need to correct the lies that he's teaching with the Word of God. And look, the church age is almost over. I don't know how much time that the church is going to have left, but I tell you one thing, I'm not going to spend a single minute of it in a lukewarm Laodicean church that has all these fancy buildings and fancy vehicles and talks about all the thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming in and there's nothing going out. I don't want to be associated with a church like that. So, Andy Stanley, I just played that clip for you where in about 3 minutes, I mean, that was part of a 45-minute message. And in about 3 minutes, Andy Stanley was working overtime to destroy your faith in the Bible. Now, that was step one. Andy Stanley wants you to believe that the Bible is not a perfect book. Andy Stanley wants you to believe that your faith exists outside of the Bible. Let me tell you something. Your faith does not exist outside of the Bible. Imagine for a moment if God had not preserved his word. How would you know about the resurrection? How would you know about Jesus on the cross at Calvary? You would have the writings of Josephus, and there's a couple of things in the book of Josephus where he says, yeah, you know, a couple people said that was the Son of God, and a bunch of eyewitnesses said that he rose again on the third day. But that's really, that by itself is just anecdotal evidence. Can you imagine if you didn't have the entire Bible? You know what it says in Psalms chapter 40, verse 7? Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Who do you think that might be talking about? Well, the book of Hebrews tells you, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. To do thy will, O God. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The entire volume of the Bible is written of Jesus Christ. If the Bible did not exist, you would not be saved. If the Bible did not exist, you would not have faith. What would you have faith in? There would be nothing to have faith in without that Bible. And this is why we are so adamant, not just about standing on the Bible, but standing on the right Bible, the Bible that God preserved. And this is why we are for the King James Bible, and we are against the modern versions that remove hundreds of verses about the deity of Christ and the and the shed blood of Jesus Christ and all those different things. So, if we didn't have a Bible, Andy Stanley wouldn't have a pulpit, because Andy Stanley wouldn't have a church if we didn't have a Bible. But again, that is a straw man, because the Bible clearly declares that God has preserved His Word. So, the first thing that Andy Stanley is doing for his 200,000 plus followers is he is getting them to doubt the accuracy of the Bible. Now, here's the second thing that Andy Stanley is doing. Andy Stanley has become an LGBTQ plus affirming pastor. Take a listen to this.
Figure out how to get straight people as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person. I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay men and women, okay, a gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what, I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted and you go over and over and over and over? Only your in-laws' house. That's the only place you go where you know you're not completely accepted, but you go over and over and over, and it's because you have to. But other than the in-laws, what environment do you continue to step foot in knowing at any moment you may feel ostracized? No place. I'm telling you, the gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church, oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer the cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. God said no, and they still love God. We have some things to learn from a group of men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And I know the verses. I know the clobber path.
So we're going to stop Andy Stanley right there. I don't want to interrupt this podcast, but we do have breaking news. Tucker Carlson has just been fired from Fox News. Fox News Media and Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways. We thank him for his service to the network as a host and prior to that as a contributor. So we have wondered many, many times, how much longer can Tucker last at Fox News? Well, we found out. He was just fired, well, right now. It just came across the wire right now. And I'm not going to let the devil interrupt this podcast in terms of what we need to talk about today. But it is important news. It's absolutely important news. So I just wanted to let you guys know that that Tucker Carlson has been dumped by Fox News. They don't like, you know, we have played a lot of his clips because it was shocking to me the stuff that he would say. I mean, he had guts like nobody else in the news media. And they paid him, I don't know, they paid him like $20 million a year or something like that. But today was the day that this is as far as he got. And I'll be doing an article about this later. But just suffice to say, Tucker Carlson has been fired by Fox News. Little too much truth. I guess while they're paying off their $787 million settlement for telling lies about the election, I guess they don't have the money any longer to pay his very, very high salary. But I have no doubt that Tucker will be fine, and he'll start his own channel. Anyway, Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley is an LGBTQ-affirming pastor. Now, is that something that a Bible believer should do? Have you ever stopped to wonder what position should the church have? And I know that it's a rhetorical question. But this is a question that in 2023, Baptist pastors all over the country are now answering this question due to the influence of Andy Stanley. Now, I'm going to play about 45 seconds of this next clip. And this is the head of Dallas Theological Seminary, a very well-respected institution of theological learning. If you come out of Dallas Theological Seminary with a Doctor of Divinity or a PhD, that commands a lot of respect. But Andy Stanley has gotten so powerful that Dallas Theological Seminary is bowing down to him. Take a listen to how the president of Dallas Theological Seminary introduces Andy Stanley. Take a listen to this.
Our speaker today is Dr. Pastor Reverend Boss Man Andy Stanley. He's a communicator, he's an author, he's a pastor.
Did you hear how he introduced him? Andy Stanley is a pastor, an author, a reverend, a boss man. Now, why would the president of Dallas Theological Seminary refer to Andy Stanley as the boss man? Let's listen to that again.
Our speaker today is Dr. Pastor Reverend Boss Man Andy Stanley. He's a communicator, he's an author, he's a pastor. He founded Atlanta-based North Point Ministries in 1995. And today it consists of nine other churches besides the main campus, 10 churches in total in the Atlanta area, with a extended network of over 90 churches around the globe that collectively serve nearly 200,000 people on a weekly basis. He holds an undergraduate degree in journalism from Georgia State University, THM from Dallas Seminary. He's the author of more than 20 books and over 1.8 million of his messages, leadership videos, and podcasts are accessed from North Point's website, catch this, on a monthly basis.
Bottom line is, the Bible did not create Christianity. The Bible did not birth the church. Our story is so much better than that.
So there you have the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, bowing to Andy Stanley. Bowing to Andy Stanley and calling him the boss man. Now, do you know why he calls him the boss man? Can you imagine how much money that Andy Stanley's North Point Ministries takes in on a weekly basis? He probably takes in about $10 million per week. Joel Osteen's church takes in about $6.5 million every weekend. And Andy Stanley's North Point Ministries is a lot larger than what Joel Osteen is doing. So, why would the president of Dallas Theological Seminary call Andy Stanley a functional heretic? Why would he call him the boss man? Well, because Andy Stanley has money. He has it in large, large buckets of money. We have a fundraiser here at Now the End Begins, and I checked it this morning, and it's roughly, we've taken in over the years, a little over $1.1 million. And that funds everything that we do. It pays for the people, it pays for the rent, it pays for the studio, it paid to start the bookstore, it pays for the Bible program, it pays for the billboard program, and our fundraiser is right around $1.1 million that we've taken in. Yesterday, Andy Stanley took in one day, 10 times that amount. So, why is Dallas Theological Seminary calling Andy Stanley the boss man? Now you know why. I want to play this next clip. We asked a question a couple of weeks ago. We asked the question a couple of weeks ago, did Charles Stanley approve of the direction that Andy Stanley, the LGBTQ affirming path that Andy Stanley was taking his church in? I do not believe that Charles Stanley approved of it. But in everything that I read over the past couple of days, Charles Stanley, in the last years of his life, was very eager to restore the relationship between him and his son. And I believe that Charles Stanley overlooked the direction that his son was taking the church in. But I did find this clip. That definitively tells you Charles Stanley's position on homosexuality. Take a listen to this.
Well, this email comes from Ginger. And she says, after discovering our son's negative views of Christianity and the Bible, he states he is a gay Christian and wrote that he does not believe it is a sin. He feels that his homosexual lifestyle is normal and believes God will accept him. Can he get into heaven while practicing this lifestyle? I'm glad you asked this question. Lots of people would like to have an answer. Well, if you'll notice the issues here, number one, he has a negative view of Christianity and the Bible, which says he has set aside the very moral basis for living, and that's the Word of God. And he states that he is a gay Christian, and he does not believe it is a sin. Now, what is he doing? He's going by his beliefs and his feelings. And so what we have to ask is this. Are you going to be governed by what you feel or by what the Word of God says? For example, he says he doesn't feel like it's a sin, and he feels it's normal. What does God say about this? And in Romans chapter 1, here's what he says. In verse 26, one of the strongest things God says, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural." And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Now, if you'll go to 1 Timothy, for example, and the first chapter, listen to what the Scripture says. Because we're talking about what God thinks, not what somebody else thinks. What does God say about this? And here's what he says. I want you to see what the traveling companions of homosexuality is like. He says, and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching according to this glorious gospel. Puts it all together. Then I want you to go, if you will, to first.
So I'm not going to play the whole clip, but you can see very, very clearly that Charles Stanley was not in favor of homosexuality. And this is yet another way that Andy Stanley differed from his dad. But for those of you that were, you know, wondering about the things that I was saying about Charles Stanley, I was just simply asking a question. Did his father approve of what Andy Stanley was doing? And the answer that I found was no, he did not approve of it. He obviously taught and preached against the type of things that Andy Stanley teaches and preaches. But because he had had a very strained relationship with his son over many decades, going back to about 1995, that I think that Charles Stanley just looked the other way. Now, I don't know what I would do in that position if it was my son. Would I look the other way? Probably not. Probably not. But I can certainly understand Charles Stanley wanting to be restored in a relationship with his son. Mia is asking, would I go one time to Andy Stanley's church and speak out? Yeah, I'm actually praying about that. I'm praying about taking a ride up there on some Saturday and sitting in his congregation on a Sunday morning, and when he starts preaching the type of heresy that he's preaching, that I would stand up and say something about that. But, you know, I don't want to put on a show and I don't want the spotlight. But I am praying that God at some point will have my path and Andy Stanley's paths meet up at some point. I think that would be an interesting encounter, to say the least. So you have Andy Stanley, and he's telling you that you can't trust your Bible, can't believe the Bible. It really doesn't matter what the Bible says. Our faith is not based on the Bible. And then you have Andy Stanley in September. He's going to be hosting something called Unconditional Conference 2023. And it says this. You're invited to the Unconditional Conference. This two-day premier event is for parents of LGBTQ+ children and for ministry leaders looking to discover ways to support parents and LGBTQ+ children in their churches. You will be equipped, refreshed, and inspired as you hear from leading communicators on topics that speak to your heart, soul, and mind. So, Andy Stanley is turning his ministry, his vast, wide, powerful, wealthy, influential ministry, and he is becoming an LGBTQ+ affirming church. And there is no question about that. I mean, that is, he has absolutely arrived at that point. And everybody that is connected with this unconditional conference that's going to be at his church in September, They are all LGBTQ affirming for the church. And that is not slander. That's not an accusation that I'm making. I am telling you that North Point Church is going to host an LGBTQ plus affirming conference. And the people that are going to be speaking at that conference, people like Greg and Lynn McDonald, Debbie Causey, Justin Lee, Reverend Dr. David Gushi, Dr. Michael Sistma, Brian Neitzel, Pastor Chris Clark. These are all LGBTQ plus affirming church people. Every single one of them. Now, because he is so influential and wealthy and powerful that Dallas Theological Seminary is calling him the boss man, this cancer is spreading to other churches as well. Take a listen to Pastor Danny DeArmas from First Orlando Baptist Church with his woke agenda from just a couple of months ago.
We have longtime members of 50 plus years greeting and welcoming new people who are walking in for the very first time. We have those who love traditional music and hymns and those who know only contemporary music. We have choir lovers and non-music lovers, a pipe organ, and loud electric guitars. We have the 99-year-old World War II hero and the millennial immigrant who doesn't know anything about American history sitting on the same row and listening and learning about Jesus together. We have transgender, LGBTQ, straight, single, married, divorced, and cohabitating people. These same people attend, listen, serve, grow, and give. We have Democrats, Republicans, independents, and non-registered people. We have documented and undocumented people. We have politically active and socially responsible people. We have pro-life and pro-choice and pro-war and pro-peace. We have Support the Blue and Black Lives Matter, sitting together and serving together. We have Trumpers and never Trumpers. We have Biden supporters and Harris supporters. We have the ultra wealthy and the indigent sitting together, singing together, and serving together. We have the social elite and the social outcast. We have the best dressed and the barely dressed. And in the midst of all of this, we have one of the most beautiful worship experiences you can possibly imagine. Because all of us gather around the good news of Jesus and the one who is changing us and the one who unifies us. And we celebrate how he has set us all free from our bondage to sin and given us eternal life. Jose, we are First Orlando.
Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's counter First Orlando with 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, the difference is, in the Bible, the church is made up of all those type of people that Danny DeArmas from First Orlando just talked about. But the difference is, the people got saved, and they repented. And the people got saved, and then they began to battle their sin. They began to struggle against their sin. The Bible does not confirm you in that sin. The Bible calls you to come away from it. And the Bible calls you to come out of it. But pastors like Danny DeArmas and Andy Stanley and Joel Osteen and all these other pastors, they don't want to lose the money. If they started preaching Bible truth, their congregations would dry up. Now, here in here in Florida, up in Jacksonville, Florida, they recently asked their members to sign an oath saying that they oppose the LGBTQ agenda. Can you imagine that? We've been talking about North Point Church, First Orlando Baptist Church, and here in Jacksonville, Florida, they're doing the opposite thing. They're demanding that their members sign a statement that they stand against the LGBTQ agenda.
A prominent Jacksonville megachurch is now making their members sign a formal declaration opposing LGBTQ freedoms.
The so-called biblical sexuality agreement says marriage is only between a man and a woman, and any member who doesn't sign it will no longer be allowed to be members of the church. All Your Size Cheyenne Cole sat down with the senior pastor of First Baptist to find out why.
Anthony Genie, senior pastor Heath Lambert says church leaders didn't make the decision. The entire congregation voted to put the agreement in place. But it's put the conservative church in the crosshairs of LGBTQ activists and even other Jacksonville churches.
The First Baptist Church sexuality agreement makes clear that LGBTQ freedoms are not welcome in the church. Senior Pastor Heath Lambert says the church is publicly expressing what Christians have believed for a couple thousand years.
It means to rule out all sorts of sexual sins. It means to rule out pornography and polygamy and fornication and adultery and homosexuality.
He says this is not controversial to Christians.
Everybody in our culture is fighting about sex. And we want our congregation to be happy and kind, and so we don't want to fight about it. And so it's just very helpful to say, here's what we think about it. And if you want to be a part of our congregation, you're welcome. If you don't, that's fine too.
It's a view one local pastor says overlooks a lot of other biblical views.
If we were looking at a biblical family, like, we would probably be talking about, like, multiple spouses and other makeups that aren't what we think of as the nuclear family.
Dickie says her church welcomes everyone, regardless of gender, race, and sexuality.
The mission of the church is to love one another and to care for our neighbor, to build a just and generous community, not to say who's in and who's out, or to sign something to say, yes, this is what you have to believe to be here.
First Baptist Church members have until March 19th to sign the document. If they don't, they automatically forfeit their church membership. You can read more about this on the First Coast News website.
So there you have First Baptist Church in Jacksonville that used to be one of the largest churches in America. At the height of this church, it's been around for 186 years. And at the height of this church, back in the 1980s and 1990s and early 2000s, their ministry covered 10 city blocks in Jacksonville, Florida. But that's not the case today. Take a listen to the declining membership of First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida.
One of the largest footprints in downtown Jacksonville is about to change. First Baptist Church of Jacksonville announced plans to reduce its downtown buildings from 10 city blocks to just one. The church's membership is steadily declining, and the church management says they need to reduce debt. News for Jackson reporter Kristen Cosby is live outside the church with the latest on this.
Ken, this is First Baptist Church's oldest building, built in 1904, this building you see right here. This building, along with the one next to it, connected to a parking garage, will be renovated. The plan is to spend $30 million on renovations and open it in about 2 years. As for the other 9 blocks of the church, well, that part will go up for sale. First Baptist Church built this lighthouse in its prime in 1996. As a symbol of the light it wanted to bring to downtown Jacksonville. Employees tell me today, the parking garage it's connected to doesn't open on Sunday due to drastically declining membership.
Grand and a glorious period of time.
The 181-year-old church peaked in membership in the 1980s and 90s. At its height, about 12,000 people passed the sanctuary. Today, First Baptist pews are glaringly empty. Pastor Heath Lambert tells us about 3,000 now attend on Sunday. Membership has declined for 20 years. Declining membership means a declining budget, and the church cannot afford the $7 million yearly expense to maintain its buildings. The church plans to sell 9 of its 10 blocks, and Lambert tells me offers have already come in.
We want to work with the city. We want to work with investors and developers.
He sat down with us today to talk about the changes and believes church members support his plan.
They have made a decision that our dreams for the future are more important than their memories.
Daniel Davis with the Chamber of Commerce wants to work with the church and developers to grow this section of downtown. He believes it will work for retail, business, and residential space.
You know, we've seen a lot of interest all across downtown, and I think that this is something that there is a lot of opportunity. I can imagine it moving very quickly. I'm sure that they've talked to folks that are already interested.
So there you have First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida. It's only about a half an hour up the street from where I live. And they are drastically downsizing. They are reducing their footprint by 90%. And what's the reason for that? Well, one of the reasons for that is things like making their members sign a pledge to stand against the LGBTQ movement. And when you look around the church today, look at any of the large mega churches with over 5,000 people at that church. And I don't know of a single large megachurch that has the King James Bible. I don't know of a single large megachurch that is preaching and teaching Bible doctrine. They are all doing what Andy Stanley is doing. Take a listen to this, also from First Baptist of Jacksonville.
I cannot remember your name.
It's please okay. You can call me anything you want. But most people call me Heath.
They call you what?
Heath, like the candy bar.
Heath? Oh, okay. Heath, yeah. Bar, all right. Well, I'm Bishop Hackworth. And,
say it again.
Bishop Hackworth.
Hackworth.
Yes, sir. And I came up. I was sitting back there, and I wasn't planning on coming up. I wasn't here to come up.
Okay.
But the Holy Spirit asked me to come up to encourage you.
Okay.
I want to thank you for standing on the Word of God. Okay. Listen. So.
Now, Mr. Hackworth, listen. They never give me a standing ovation.
Well, they just did.
So you must have the Spirit on you.
Keep me in your prayers. I go through some things that you go through. When you have to speak truth, whether it be at your job, whether it be at an airport, whether it be in front of cameras, whether it be in front of a cell phone or a pulpit, you're going to be the one that they're going to come after. And they don't realize that when they come after you and you're speaking God's words, they're coming after God. And then they will say, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And the truth is that word says you're not. Mm. And it's hard for those of us in the church to speak it to those we love and that we care for, because we don't want to see no one lost. But the reality is,
so what this guy is talking about, what the bishop is talking about, is he's trying to encourage the pastor from First Baptist of Jacksonville, even though there is a lot of opposition to the stand that he's taking, he is encouraging him to take that stand anyway. And this is where we are in the closing moments of the Laodicean church age. And standing for the Bible is a radical position within the church. I'm not talking about standing on a street corner and preaching to a bunch of lost people. Yeah, the Bible is a radical position when you're preaching to lost people. There's no question about it. But what's happening here at First Baptist in Jacksonville and in hundreds of other Baptist churches all across the country is that their stand for the Bible and on the Bible has become a radical position. It's become the minority position. And what's become the majority position? Andy Stanley. That's become the majority position. This is what he preached for his Easter message.
We believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but we don't believe Jesus rose from the dead because the Bible tells us so. It's actually the other way around. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would be no Bible, there would be no church, and I would have no job.
That's part of Andy Stanley's Easter message. He didn't call it a resurrection message. He calls it an Easter message. People like Andy Stanley identify with the pagan holiday of Easter. Astarte, Ashtaroth. We sell a book in the bookstore called The Two Babylons. And I highly recommend, if you've never read The Two Babylons, I highly recommend that you go to BibleBeliever.com. That's the website for our bookstore. And get yourself a copy of The Two Babylons. Now, Andy Stanley says let me just play the clip. It's only 15 seconds. I don't want to misquote him.
We believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but we don't believe Jesus rose from the dead because the Bible tells us so. It's actually the other way around. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would be no Bible, there would be no church, and I would have no job. We believe that Jesus...
All right, so Andy Stanley says that if Jesus had never risen from the dead, there would be no Bible. Well, what would have happened to Genesis to Malachi? What would have happened to the entire Old Testament? Doesn't Andy Stanley want to ponder that for a moment? If there was no resurrection, you would still have the entire Old Testament. And then Andy Stanley says if Jesus never rose from the dead, there would be no church. Well, look at what the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spoke to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Is it true that if there was no resurrection, there would be no Bible? No, that's a lie. You would still have everything from Genesis to Malachi. Is it true that if there was no resurrection, there would be no church? That's a lie, because Acts chapter 7 shows you that there was a church in the Old Testament. Now, I have about 3.5 minutes left. Let's wrap this whole thing up. It is my sad duty to report to you that Andy Stanley, Dallas Theological Seminary, First Orlando Baptist Church, and all the other mega groups are all part of the falling away. And it's also my sad duty to report to you that there is no revival coming. The next revival is going to be the rapture of the church. And the only people who are going to be revived are the people who were taken in the rapture, and that's every single man, woman, and child who are born again. What Andy Stanley represents is the future. What you and I represent is the past. And in order for the scriptures to be true, there has to be a falling away. And what you're watching, and you can quote me on this, you can write it down, you can mark it down, this is going to age very, very well. What you are watching is the biblical falling away of the biblical lukewarm Laodicean church. And it is going to do nothing but get larger and stronger and more powerful and more influential. It's going to side completely with the world around it until there will be no difference between the Laodicean church and the 6 o'clock news. They are becoming one. And this is what the Bible means when it talks about a falling away. Falling away from what? From preaching and teaching Bible doctrine. Andy Stanley doesn't preach any Bible doctrine. First Baptist of Orlando doesn't preach any Bible doctrine. Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Paula White, Beth Moore, they don't preach any Bible doctrine. But they represent the future. Now, how do I feel about that? The way that I feel about that is you can have it. You can have your NIV and your ESVs and your Good News for Modern Man, and you can have all that crap and you can have all that garbage, and I am never, by the grace of God, never going to step 1 centimeter away from my King James Bible. For the past 32 years, I have believed that that is the preserved Word of God. And you and I, of this ministry, of Now the End Begins Ministries, we are going to stand on the preserved Word of God, on the King James Bible. We are going to stand against the spirit of this age and the spirit of this world. And Lord willing, we're never going to back down. We're never going to compromise. We're never going to water it down. We're never going to quit. We're never going to let up, not even for a minute. And we're going to continue our push to send out as many King James Bibles as we possibly can. This summer, we're getting ready for a turn or burn gospel witness billboard blitz. And these billboards are going up on the east and west coast of Florida, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I'm saying it here for the first time. We are going to find the closest billboard to Andy Stanley's church, and we're going to put one up. And we're going to let Andy Stanley know that we reject his false teachings. We reject his heresy. And pray about that. Pray about that. And please pray for this program. Please pray for this ministry. And Lord willing, if God has prospered you, please consider donating to this ministry. It takes a lot of money to do this stuff, and we are using it all for God's glory, And there's so much more that we want to do that we're, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries, we are going to do that. So please keep all of that in your prayers. And Rita just sent me a message. Craig Arford is in surgery right now. So let's close in prayer and let's ask God to bless the surgery. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, please be with our brother Craig Arford and guide the surgeons and the nurses and the anesthesiologists. Keep his body strong and help him through this surgery. Help him to recover. And we just put all that in your hands, God. And Father God, for everything we talked about today, we just pray that you would continue to let this ministry, Now the End Begins, be a lighthouse, that we stand on your preserved word. We believe every word of that book from cover to cover, including the cover. And Lord, let us not be weary in well-doing, and we are looking forward to reaping in due time. And strengthen us, Father God, as a church family, and give us everything that we need to get the job done that you've called us to do. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another NTEB Rightly Divided King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? The Bible says he's a King of the Jews. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he is a Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my King? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm come to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King. Yeah. Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the pauperous. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the lord of lords. That's my King. Yeah.